Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 226. It's Thursday. It's March 20th. We're giddy little kids. It's like Christmas Eve around these parts. But we're here to give you your pitching roadmap for the fantasy baseball season. We did the hitter roadmap on Tuesday. Obviously, six pockets of ADP before that. We'll give you a little FAB preview, as well as the first run of FAB is this Sunday. Before we get to all that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntrick, podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Merry Christmas Eve to you, my friend. We'll be in the cut together here in 24 hours. We'll be checking in to the Airbnb. Doing good. It's that. So yeah, we're recording early on Thursday, so we can get it all done and maybe get some sleep for an early wake up Friday morning where we head out to Vegas. But no, I'm doing great, man. We got that coming up. Got March Madness on the TV right here. And this is one of the best times of the year. So doing well.
Yep, it's good. It's good. I need to get back into the college basketball field of things since we'll be at a sports book this weekend. But I have a feeling enough people will tell me where to waste my money. So we'll be just fine in that regard. Yeah. So hitter roadmaps, well received. We got some listener questions from the Discord for the pitcher roadmaps, but we'll do roadmaps. We'll do some FAB as that's coming down. We got some news before the show. Ryan Weathers probably getting TJ. I'm jumping to conclusions when he's down with a forearm injury. That was a rough blow in that one. And the injuries don't stop, even though spring's almost over. So
the Ryan Weathers one was tough. He was one of the helium guys because of really different shapes on his pitches and bigger velocity. And I think you and I both have said in the Discord, it's like I really don't want pitchers throwing this hardness. And maybe, I mean, who knows if that's it with Weathers. I don't know. But another one bites the dust with velocity. We had Jared Jones. We don't have a new segment this show, but the Jared Jones news, was that yesterday? Was that Wednesday? That was brutal as well. So tis the season, unfortunately.
And like you said, he was the helium guys. I got my shares before the helium, thank God. But at least it kind of makes you feel better when you have to drop them than moving them up the board. But we'll see where that goes. Ryan Weathers, I only brought it up because he will not be on this show because we're talking top 80 pitchers getting drafted. Top 200 ADP. So, Ryan, let's get cracking on this. Let's pitch and roadmap this one. And what do we got going? Oh, look, I'm so glad you did this because I printed out the page that all four on one page. I'm like, that's going to be a disaster. So, well done.
You bringing your printer to Vegas? Put that in the Airbnb and just print out some. You know,
all I need for Vegas is right up here. So, we're good.
The dome? Okay. Yep. All good. We'll see how efficient that thing is by Sunday.
Oh, when I went by my office this morning, I grabbed a yellow notepad for you too. So you can have one to take home with you.
Thank you. Make sure that arrives safely, please. Yep. I'll be lost without it. All right. Pitcher roadmap. We're going to kind of relatively breeze through this as opposed to the hitter one, which we kind of dedicated the full show. And like you said, in the second half of this show, Bubba got a Bloom board for, to help with FAB preview, but pitcher roadmap. So what we're going to look at here, for those watching on YouTube, we are showing the top 80 pitchers, which just happens to also be the top 200 by ADP. And we'll just kind of go through, I mean, similar to the hitter side, we'll go through kind of each of these four groups of 20 players and pick out spots we like, categories maybe, I guess, but more just like when we want to take our closures and that sort of thing. Actually, I mean, one thing I was going to ask you, like we spent so much time on categories on the hitter roadmap. Do you look at categories for pitchers? Like, do you look at, like, I'm behind, I have a few good ratio guys, but low in strikeouts. Like, does that matter a ton for you? Obviously, it's less than hitters because you have, like, true stolen base guys, batting average guys, homers guys. But, like, how much does that factor in on your pitcher builds?
First, it's funny that you think I look at ratios. That's adorable.
Try to give you some like an inch of credit here. You ignore WHIP, right? That's
obviously given. I kind of keep a little ID on it, but obviously we're looking at just on the 150 to 200. It's just red all over the board, and it's only going to get worse as you move on. one thing I've said over and over and over again this draft season is I do at least look at strikeout potential. Like, that's something I do care quite a bit about. So I'll look at projections. I'll look at what they've done the last couple seasons. I'll look at Kato Walks, our favorite stat, and stuff like that. So that might be something that sways me on certain players that I might go to. But once you get to this back end here and beyond,
yeah,
I'm just, you know, upside plays. That's where Ryan Weathers did come in. That's where pitchers like that show up. You take your chances. If it doesn't work out, they're easy drops. Siler McGill, who we talked about, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So for the most part, mm-hmm. when you're talking ratios, no.
Same. I'm the same. I don't like it, outside of the obvious, like if you start with like a Logan Webb and George Kirby, RIP, like maybe you want to get somebody with more strikeouts with your third pitcher or whatever. I'm just kind of making up names and examples, but yeah, I agree. For me too, it's just like, especially once you get to these middle rounds, it's just try and pick the pitcher you like the most. I mean, projecting ratios is like, the ratios are so damn noisy that, I mean, we've talked about pitcher projections in general. It's just so hard to nail that down. So I am typically just ignore, not, you know, yeah, pretty much once I get to the middle rounds, ignore how I'm doing in ERA, whip, and strikeouts, because strikeouts are a little more stable, but like in the ratios, and just pick the best guy and don't, you know, don't overcomplicate it with trying to stay balanced in pitching categories. I just think it's such a noisy thing looking at those projections. So
it's anyway. A combination of, it's definitely noisy, but it's also, I've kind of just embraced the chaos. Not to say I'm going to target injured pitchers, but everyone's getting hurt now. With Doug, I keep forgetting the exact number that Ron Chandler mentioned at FPAS, but I want to say it was like close to like 70% or something.
70 is the number that sticks in my mind from FPAS.
It's like literally, if every page we look at has, let's just say, like 40 people, well, three quarters of it is roughly 30 of that page is going to go on the IL at some point. And so that's why I'm like, you know what, eventually just look at skill sets, like Ryan said, and take your chances, because you're going to probably churn and burn at least half of your pitching staff, if not more, as the season goes along.
Yeah, agreed. So yeah, we won't pay too much attention to
go from there.
Exactly. All right, cool. So yeah, let's look at this like 150 to 200 group. We've got 8 closers going from picks 160 to 200. This is typically, well, I don't know. I don't like a lot of these closers. The only closer I like, and this will be a common theme we talked about in our relief pitcher preview episode, is like, this is why I want to go early reliever, because it's just not that, like, the closers going are Jordan Romano. Could be good, but obvious injury risk. Kenley Jansen's the one I'm targeting, fully knowing he could be struggling. David Bednar, we don't know if he has the job. Ryan Pressly. can't throw. Threw 16 pitches in Tokyo and threw 4 strikes. Like, good hell. That's, I'm glad I slept through that one. Did not watch that. You got Carlos Estevez, velocity's down, battling back injuries. You got Alexis Diaz, who might start in the minors.
Yep.
Like, you've got Lucas Urseg, who may, you know, maybe a split at best with Estevez if Estevez is healthy, and Justin Martinez at 197, who the Diamondbacks just said yesterday they are not committing to a closer. So it's like, dude, that this is why we kind of preach go early closer, take your medicine, pay the early price. And because this group is, you know, maybe a couple of them hit, but it's just, for me, it's really hard to tell which ones that's going to be.
Yeah, that's, it sums up the closing situation in a nutshell. It's either get your guys early, like we've said a million times, or embrace the chaos, because you're going to play the waiver wire all season long. That's all I can say. Like, don't come crying. It's like you tell your kids, you know, I warned you, don't come crying in like a couple hours. Don't come crying in June when you don't have saves, because this is what's going to happen. And you might strike gold. Who knows? Like, Estevez might stay healthy and all those kind of things. But you, like Ryan did, you can make a case for all these guys. You can make a case for Kenley Jansen, for crying out loud. That,
oh yeah,
break apart. But like, out of all of them, I'm with Ryan on Jansen, and I got a bunch of Romano. But you don't feel great about a lot of these picks. That's for darn sure. When you're taking them.
Agreed. So. Yeah. Typically going a couple starting pitchers out of this group, because I would have at least locked up one, if not two closers.
Yeah, we've moved on from closers, hopefully, at this point in time. Again, you never know, things happen, but it does take you into a world of starting pitchers where, honestly, it's, if we're just talking about the 150 through 199, basically 158 one on the right side, not love with a ton of the pitchers here. There's a couple I don't mind, but just by looking at these list of pitchers, and if I'm not taking a closer, I'm probably going to hitter in this range is what it feels like to me. So I don't know if there's any pitchers you're straight looking at. Like Gavin Williams has the juice that keeps going up. I know there's Pivetta. There's Clay Holmes. There's Mackenzie Gore. But it's not like a fought. There's not a place I love here.
Agree. There's a couple of my, my Bloom Board's children here. There's Nick Pivetta at 161. I think that's still a palatable price. This ADP, by the way, is 12-team NFBC leagues from Monday and Tuesday drafts. So very, very fresh. You've got Pivetta at 161. I like you. I'm not on the Gavin Williams. I haven't taken Seth Lugo. I haven't taken Ronaldo Lopez. And then that's 160 to 175. You say Kikuchi. I've been on a little bit off lately. We'll see what happens with the Angels there, but you're right. Like Brandon Pfaadt, we both like Brandon Pfaadt, but we obviously know that the downside there, if he can figure out lefties. Clay Holmes getting a ton of helium now, going at 182 in recent drafts. And yeah, outside of that, there's not much I like here for starting pitching as well. So I am also leaning hitter here as well. And that kind of aligns with what we were talking about on the hitter roadmap, where we did like a bunch of bats going in this range.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of echoing of that show, because it really is. It's like it's a hitter pocket, a pitcher pocket, a hitter pocket, a pitcher pocket. That's just what it feels like this year. It's really kind of broken out relatively easy. It feels like, obviously, things are subject to change. But this my last kind of thought on this range is it is a lot of helium, guys. Honestly, it's Clay Holmes is in this range. You got Gavin Williams in this range.
Gavin Williams is gaining. I don't think I've seen Gavin Williams this high before.
No. He's getting serious steam in this one. So a lot of guys getting pushed up, obviously pushing guys down. Like, honestly, Mackenzie Gore is one of the more proven pitchers in this range, and he's at the bottom of the list, which is, or I guess at least one of the pitchers we know what to expect with, I should say. Maybe not proven. Yeah.
Proven to post a 140 whip, but.
Bingo. So we're on track here. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot else for this pocket besides it's not my favorite. I will pick and choose. Like, I do have a lot of Kikuchi, but not my overall favorite pitching range.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
All right. Well, if you flip to 60 through 8, no, it's, I can't even do math right now.
40 to 60.
40 to 60. Yes. Thank you. 40 to 60. This is much more my wheelhouse, but there's only four closers in this range, Ryan.
Yeah, your four closers in the pitchers 40 through 60. This is ADP 107 through 152. Yeah, only four. It's Jeff Hoffman. It's Robert Suarez. It's Trevor Megill and Pete Fairbanks. I have serious questions on all four of those guys.
Yep.
All four of them. How would you rank that group?
That group?
I know you're not taking many of them, but would you rank them in that order?
I'd have Hoffman, Megill, Suarez, Fairbanks, but yeah, Hoffman's the only guy I might have a share of if I have any shares of this whole group. I have Megill early before Williams was traded,
right?
But that's about it.
Yep, Trevor Megill. I mean, you're banking on A, health, and but B, also, I mean, he was good last year in the closer role, but look at his career numbers outside of that. It's leaves a lot to be desired. Suarez could get traded or just not be good. Hoffman could get hurt. Pete Fairbanks will get hurt. Or traded from Tampa Bay. So I agree. I'm not really going reliever here as well. A couple pitchers that stand out. Like the one interesting guy for me is George Kirby at a 132 ADP. I just didn't know where he would end up after the shoulder injury and subsequent, what do you get, like PRP, some type of injection in his shoulder. So the market says 132 around like Justin Steele and Sonny Gray. I'm probably taking Gray or Steele ahead of George Kirby just because I want to draft a healthy pitcher.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I'm at. It's like there's injured guys and then there's injured guys. When we're talking like a shoulder or an elbow, that's like the real injured guys to me. Like, I just don't want to mess with that, basically, is the way I look at it. I know you've always been a Kirby guy, so to actually hear you say that about Kirby to me says a lot, and I just looking it up for fun because I wanted to see if this is a 12 versus 15 thing. But over the last, since Monday, there's been four main event drafts, and Kirby's ADP is about 133, so he's in line with 12s and 15s. Okay. He's falling at the same. Yeah, I just, man, because the other thing is I haven't really heard any new news since it happened. I know they were shutting them down a little bit, but there's like nothing getting said at all. At least Grace Rodriguez is playing catch. Like, we know that.
That's the thing. We haven't heard Kirby is throwing yet or whatever. So it's just like, it seems like a month at a minimum at this point. That's tough to stomach with a top 10 round pick and 15 teamers. So,
It's like a broken record. I'd rather draft Bubba Chandler at 340 and wait a month than George Kirby at 132 and not know if it's a month plus.
KC Bubba Chandler, you think he starts?
Things are looking that way. Like Jared Jones, the wonderful second opinion that always comes back positive, is we're awaiting the results of that second opinion. It's been about 24 hours since we heard that was happening, so we'll see. Yeah,
Jared Jones is in this group, by the way, 141.
Oh, I saw that.
ADP, which is tough.
Let me see. Was there a main event? Yeah, Tid did a main event last night. I want to see where Jared Jones went in just one draft, basically.
I'm guessing he was drafted, but
he was. Barely. ADP 396 over the last two drafts. He's went as low as 420. So I'm guessing that's
basically reserve rounds. Yeah. So which I get. I think there's this is a group I love. I mean, this is probably where I'm hopefully grabbing my SP3. And I mean, a couple of our favorites. I just said Steele and Sonny Gray, although Steele didn't look that great over in Tokyo at 133. I like those guys. Robbie Ray is getting some helium. I'm not sure if I'm there yet at a 135 ADP. I know you aren't. You are in on Freddie Peralta at 109. He's one of the top guys in this group, tied with Luis Castillo, which is interesting. But those guys, you've got Alcantara, you've got Carlos Rodon, healthy there. This is a decent spot to get your SP3. There's definitely a couple helium guys as well. Christopher Sanchez and I guess McClanahan starting to rise, 119. Yep.
McClanahan showing healthy, so he's on the move. Christopher Sanchez rising like crazy, like the Phoenix in this. But it's definitely a range I target a lot. You mentioned Rodon and Peralta, only two guys in this range projected over 190Ks. That's kind of been one of my arguments for both of them on previous shows is, 190, 200 plus strikeouts with those guys. I think that's in play. It's interesting to see Sonny Gray projected for 187. Like we know he's up the strikeout rate of late, but even projections are on board with that, which is a plus as well. But definitely a range where you get a lot of, ERAs in the mid to high threes. So you're improving in that range and some ratio guys that can help sub 1-2 ratios in the whip department. I heard that's good. So this is a place where you can do some shopping in that range, but one of them's Kirby. So how much shopping is the question? But yeah, there are some guys here.
What about Kode Senga's hanging out there at 152? Yeah, I know Ben drafted him in his main yesterday. I have not been able to click the draft button on Kode Senga, but it has looked good this spring, right?
Yep, I've come around on him full bore. I got him in my OLAC for $11. I was over the moon about that. That's one of those that I feel like I'm not paying a premium. So if it doesn't work out, okay. Like $11 would have helped in an auction, obviously, but it doesn't ruin you. And if he is close to the guy people think he is, the biggest question is workload for me is how many innings does he go? The stuff's never been in question. It's just been innings and health. So if he's healthy and gives you like 140, 150 innings, I think that's an amazing price at 150. Like, why would people, like, we'll talk about it in the next group. Why take Roki Sasaki at 88 when you take Senga at 152? That's just kind of where my brain's at.
Good point. I'm not going to push back on that one. Yeah,
skill sets are very similar. It looks like they want the shiny new toy, or there's a guy we know who he is, but is he healthy? So I get there's questions, but like 70 picks is I don't think there's that many questions. That's kind of where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more a question of why you're taking Sasaki at 88 than
I think it. That's right. I think that's more a admonishment. I don't barely even know what that word means. Admonishment of Sasaki at 88 than Senga at 152.
Yeah, that's probably true. Probably true. But yeah, no, to your point, Senga is a guy that's growing on me quite a bit. I knew Ben liked him because on even on my listener league auction, he was mad I didn't. I think he only worth like $9 in that. He was mad I didn't go higher on that.
Interesting. What do you think about Zach Gallen? I'm just kind of filling in
the gaps. Diamondbacks opening day starter, Zach Gallen, that was just announced about 20 minutes ago.
Yes. Gallen. I mean, I don't think we have talked about Zach Gallen at all. So I'm just trying to kind of fill in some gaps for our regular listeners who have, you know, heard us talk about Justin Steele, Sonny Gray, Freddie Peralta, yada, yada. I haven't ended up with Zach Gallen at all. Projected 395 ERA, 125 whip. I'm not sure why. I guess it's just a blind spot, maybe.
He's boring. That's why.
So you would think I would be all over him.
Yeah, for you, yes. But that's why a lot of people aren't talking about him. It's kind of where I'm going with that. Like, he's my SP4 in the listener auction league. I was very happy about that situation. He only threw 148 innings last year, so people might get concerned because, you know, he had the big World Series year. He threw 210 innings plus postseason. Strikeouts were still in line last season. Ratios were still very good last season. I don't know what the major concern is, other than maybe people are looking at the only like 148 innings and thinking, oh no, he only made 28 starts. Should we start panicking about Zach Gallen? But dude's only 29. Like, he's old by any means. If he's healthy, to me, he is a guy that is a really good guy. There's a reason he is in this range. People see that, but to your point, we haven't talked about it a lot. So, like, I take Gallen over Brian Wu in a heartbeat if we're looking at guys going right next to each other. I wouldn't even think twice about that.
Yeah, Brian Wu seems to be rising as well. ADP of 125. I can't get there. I can't get there with the, and I know every pitcher is an elevated health risk. I just think Brian Wu is an extreme health risk. And I mean, you know, projections for pitchers be damned, a 374 ERA projected for Brian Wu. It's in 130 strikeouts. I don't know what the innings total is on that one, but even if Brian Wu stays healthy for most of the season, I don't know if you're getting an SP1 upside. Whereas right before Brian Wu, you've got Shane McClanahan, where I'm not drafting Shane McClanahan, but I at least understand if Shane McClanahan gets to that 150 number that they keep talking about, I could see 150 innings of SP1, SP2 production. With Brian Wu, it's harder for me to get there.
Yeah, where Brian Wu's, the reason he's going up like crazy, he's having a monster spring, just striking everybody out. So the hype train is fully behind him. But
that's not the reason why you should rise. He's healthy. That's probably that's the biggest reason, I guess. But
is he though? We thought he was healthy, and now he's partially torn his ligament twice and came back to pitch. So there's so many questions.
Which is again why neither of us are going there. So I don't know. If you had to pick a top three from this group before we move to the next one, who would you go with? I'll lead off. I'll let you think about it. I'll go Justin Steele and Sonny Gray at 131 and 133. Had questions about both of those guys entering the spring, but they've made it through. I mean, Steele's already pitched an MLB game. Sonny Gray has been named, I think, the Cardinals opening day starter. So you've got that. And then I will also go, I would have gone Jared Jones.
Yes.
But I will also say Christopher Sanchez. It's just a tough call at 128 ADP, but he is my guy. So I'm going to stick with, if I like him at a 150, I have to like him at a 128 ADP, I think.
For me in this range, I'm going to go with Sandy Alcantara, Carlos Rodon, and Kodai Senga. Yes.
Okay.
Based on ADP and what I think, like, I love Freddie. Freddie's even been moving up since early draft season. So that's where I sit on those ones. I seeing Sandy healthy, seeing him throw the way he's throwing, it's one of those things that it's kind of like your take on Shane McClanahan. I'll take Sandy's got no, like, the Marlins have no reason not to use him, especially now that every pitcher is getting hurt in Miami. Like, Sandy's just going to go wild on this one. Might not get any wins, but he's going to go wild.
Okay. I like it. All right, let me switch over to our last board here. So this is going to be starting pitchers 1 through 40. So we'll hone in on 20 through 40. As we start each group here, we'll start with relievers because that's the easiest place to kind of pick. It's ADP 66 through 105, and yes, these are pretty good ones. Yeah, these are good ones, and I'm fine ending up with pretty much any of these guys. There's Andrés Muñoz at an ADP of 66. Felix Bautista at 72, Joan Duran at 76, Ryan Walker, your guy, he's rising, 78, and Tanner Scott, who already has a save under his ledger overseas, going at an ADP of 105. So I am, I'm kind of on board with any of those guys. I would rank them Munoz, Walker, Scott, Duran, Bautista, but something like that. But I don't, I'm not opposed to taking any of these guys.
Yeah, I'd probably switch Bautista. Duran's on the bottom for me, but I'd probably have Walker, Munoz, Scott, Bautista, Duran, but all decent options. Duran's the only one I would not probably pick, weirdly enough, just because I don't like how they utilize him there. Like, you're getting a guy that gets you 20 something saves, doesn't, like, low 20s saves more often than not. He's not the big guy you're hoping for in this range, but it goes to show you we pretty much only like closers in the top 100 of ADP. So good luck drafting is where that comes down to. Like, you have to have a plan and be aggressive with that plan in the closing situation.
Yeah. Pardon the Roki Sasaki projection there. Negative one ERA and WHIP. He wasn't officially in Fangraph's database for major leagues until he actually pitched. So ignore that one.
That's funny.
I think the starting pitching group here is absolutely loaded. And this is where, we said this on the hitter roadmap side. This is kind of why I am starting three bats in almost every league, because you can get Framber Valdez at pick 70. You can get Papa Pablo at 79, Imanaga at 83. You can get Logan Webb at 94, my guy Nola 96, Bailey Ober 97, Bibee 98. I like love all those guys. I think they have been healthy the past few seasons. I think that is a good sign. They may stay healthy in 2025. Who knows? But they're also pretty good. And so this is where I am hammering pitching. If I have three picks in a 15 team, or all three might be pitchers, it might be grabbing one of those closers that we mentioned, and then two of the starting pitchers that I just mentioned. So I love this starting pitcher group going from ADP 66 to 105.
Yeah, this is like usually I'll three or four hitters, then it's like Iglesias, and then I pepper two to three starters here. So it's kind of like what you're talking about.
Yep.
Because like you said, like, and Strider, I just looked, his ADP over the last two main events, 54, went as high as 47. So yep. He's yep. Moving quick.
Yep.
Keep that one in range. But love Framber, as you do. Schwellenbach, 10 Ks and 6 innings in a spring game. Like, good God. I don't care what the talent is. That's, you don't see that every day. So I'm with you there. You got Shota. Ober and Bibee. Those are the guys I'm targeting, all those guys in this range.
What about Tyler Glass now? He's rising. He's made it through spring. You're still out. You're not there.
He made it through last spring too.
He did. He made it through most of the season.
More innings than he ever has before, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'm there with Glass now at 78, but smart people are. So
yeah, when you got McMahon, like I said, Alcantara, kind of like all these other guys that are coming off injuries, I'll take the chance on them. And like Glass now is like the Brian Wu of this range, basically. We know he's hurt. We know it's going to end eventually. Like, there's so many better pitchers in this range. Like, if Tyler Glass's ADP was 278, okay, that'd be cool. Like, I know it wouldn't be him, but a pitcher, I mean, like a pitcher with like that injury concern, okay, take your chance, see where it goes. But at 78, this could be your SP1. Like, I need this dude to be it.
And that's why I'm kind of leaning with all the names I just mentioned, is because this, in a lot of teams, this is my SP1, and I want someone who, where the volume at least has been there the last couple of years. Now, I will say, like, and again, this is the board here kind of shows this perfectly. The reason why a lot of these guys that we like are going a little bit later, like 70 through 100 ADP, compared to the true aces that we'll talk about in the next group, is strikeouts, right? Like, almost every starting pitcher projected, you know, the top 20 pitchers are projected for over 200 Ks. And I don't think anybody pitchers 20 through 40 is at all. Pablo Lopez is the top one at 198. So, and then obviously ratios as well, but I think the strikeouts is a big, I mean, that's why you grab your SP1. You get those, yep. you, early in drafts is you get that elite strikeout upside, which some of these guys going in this range that we like, that's what you are sacrificing by going early bats.
Yeah, no, that's the whole reason to do it. Like, are strikeouts the equivalent of home runs in the pitching position? Is that where we're going with this? Like, get your guys early because you can't get them late? Or how should we look? Like, I'm trying to equate it to people trying to draft of, I guess, I don't know if scarcity is the right word, but how things fall apart in that regard.
That's good comp. I would say that's a good comp, because another thing with a strikeout automatically, just like a home run automatically gives you run RBI and a hit, strikeout automatically helps your ERA and whip as well. So you just don't leave it up to the BABIP gods by missing bats. So I'd go with that. And yeah, just the way that and I think this is kind of what made your comp originally, is just given the shape of strikeouts to be able to get those Ks and the elite ratios. I mean, that's similar to those bats that we talked about early in drafts. Or that's again why you're paying up if you go with an SP1 in the top 50 picks.
Are you going after a guy like Hunter Green right now? Because like, his ratios stand out much in this range compared to everybody else.
I'm not touching Hunter Green. I just, the velocity, I can't get over the velocity. We're already seeing it. We're already seeing this velocity list and crossing names off every few days. I think Hunter Green is a ticking time bomb. Hunter Green, yes, I know, was one of the best pitchers down the stretch last season, but before getting hurt. But like, yeah, I think there's even a chance that Hunter Green, if he stays healthy, like hits these projections, which are terrible. 4.23 ERA, 1.23 WHIP. So I know you get a bunch of K's and you kind of hope for another epic run from Hunter Green, but I just can't see it lasting even most of a season.
Yeah, so that was kind of my question behind that. Like, how do you see the projections here? He's still a top 100 pick. People are taking that pick, but it's pretty wild to me. That's where I was kind of going with that.
What about real quick? What about Joe Ryan? ADP of 104. I feel like we haven't, at least I haven't taken him much, if at all. And I feel like when we talked about Joe Ryan, I was like, oh, I want to wait until I see him in spring. Well, spring, he's looked pretty good. And a 104 ADP, like, that's not bad. It's not bad.
Yeah, no, he's pitched really well this spring. Like, my biggest thing was he had the shoulder injury last year. It was pretty nasty. I think he's the one that at FPAS, Cederstrom was talking about, like, the how that recovery takes place and everything, and kind of got me off of him. But he is pitching well. It's just kind of like, is his shoulder equivalent to like Brian Wu's elbow? Like, are we gonna spend the draft pick on this? I don't know. I'm just so cautious with my early picks that there's other guys around him, so I've avoided Joe Ryan. I know I can get burned by Joe Ryan. I think Ted's a big Joe Ryan guy, if I remember correctly. So there's tons of ways to go about him.
I mean, I just see Aaron Nola, Bailey Ober, and Tanner Bibee going right in front of him, and
I see Bailey Ober and Tanner Bibee. Yeah.
Dude, why? Whatever, man. Nola and Ober, like, the same guy, dude.
I like Nola a lot. I'm just messing. It's all fun now. It's because you had the nerve to compare him to Dylan Cease. So for that, he gets put to the back of the line every time.
God, I can't wait till that one comes to fruition. It's gonna be beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, so beautiful.
So yes. Anyway,
all right. You want to go 1 through 20?
Let's do it.
Yep, 1 through 20. You got the big dogs up top. You got any skeins or scooble shares yet?
Got a couple scoobles. I don't think any skeins. The thing about going a pitcher in the first round or second round, when they're this good and they hit, it is such an advantage. Yep. It is such an advantage to have true dominance in 4 of the 10 categories from like one guy. Like, if an elite starting pitcher hits, the impact that they make to those 4 categories is more than any hitter can do. I mean, you've got 14 hitter spots and only 9, really only 7 starting pitcher slots. And that's the game you play. If you go with an early skeins or scooble, like, and it works, that works very well. So, I have taken Scooble. I have taken some Logan Gilbert going like a pick 27. I took a Zach Wheeler. So I'm not totally opposed. Maybe it's just to mix things up, because, you know, we do so many of these damn drafts. You don't want to start every single draft with 3 bats. So I'm not opposed to doing it. It's just for me, the gap between the Skeen, Scooble, Gilbert, Wheeler, whatever, and Webb, or not Webb, like Pablo Lopez, Framber Valdez, Ober, Bibee, those types at a 70 pick discount. Like, I feel like that gap is not as big as the gap on the hitter side. So that's why I'm just going early bats usually, but certainly not opposed to going an early starter. It's just something I haven't done this year because I like the upper middle class of starting pitching this year.
Yep. Yep. I'm with you. Like I took Skeens and Barf. I had him I picked 13 or something in that. So I took Skeens there. I'll take that and see where it goes. Don't think I have any Scooble, weirdly enough. I have a Wheeler. Had a Crochet super early when he wasn't going this early in drafts. So that ended rapidly. But like honestly, the only time I've really dipped into this pool, I got like obviously some Cease has entered the chat. Michael King has been popular for me of late for like a first SP if I move up SP a little bit. The only Cole Reagan share I have is in auctions. So
I saw that. And what do you think of it? Cole Reagan's at 37. That seems like he is climbing.
But I think it's fair because honestly, like I take Reagan's over Chris Sale personally. I know they're going right
next to him over Burns.
I take him over Burns. I think the one that if you want to compare anybody to, I know that wasn't your question, but yeah, Blake Snell at ADP 53. He's better than Reagan, Sale, and Burns if you trust the health. He is an elite talent. It's his health and I guess the Dodgers workload also. But Snell's one of those guys, like if you're looking for a value, I guess, in the first 20 pitchers, which is hard to claim any's a value, Blake Snell to me is one of the values in this range.
Well, you know, you see that red and whip. So I, you know, it's fair.
I'll do it for you. Never mind.
My biggest fade, I think, here is Corbin Burns. And I know I'm not alone in that, but I mean, the projections kind of bear that out. You are, and the projections are reflecting a declining strikeout rate for Burns. It's a 3.82 ERA, 1.22 WHIP, and only 184 strikeouts. Like that's a lot, but compared to the 200, 220, some of the guys going around Corbin Burns are, that's pretty considerable. So Corbin Burns has probably been my biggest early round fade for starting pitching.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention on Blake Snell, 0.85 WHIP in the second half last season. 0.85. Obviously, it's not a full season. I get it. But my point to him being a potential value.
What was it in the first half?
1.42. I knew you were going to ask that, so I had that unloaded for you.
Just, you know, for the good of the listeners, want to follow through and be a...
I'll say this much. You threw 35 innings in the first half, threw 68 in the second half. So weighted-wise for your team, you got the good much more than the bad.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
If you didn't cut Blake Snell, at least.
Yeah, if you didn't cut Blake Snell, that is very, very true. But all right, almost lost my computer there.
Yeah, dude, fun. that looked rough. I want to destroy the computer before Vegas. Real quick, the closers here: Emmanuel Class A, Devin Williams, going next to each other, 42 and 44 ADP. A little bit of a drop down to Mason Miller, Josh Hader, Edwin Diaz. Right around 50, and then late 50s is Helsley Iglesias. I haven't ended up with any Helsley or Mason Miller, but I have ended up with the other ones, and I don't see a case against taking any of these early closers. It's just if you take the early closer, right, it's that opportunity cost of you're missing out on a Blake Snell, a Dylan Cease, or on the hitting side, very good talent. So that's the game you play. But given, again, how bad the relief pool is after like pick 100, I feel like you kind of just got to do it.
You got to do it, especially in deeper formats. I know people like we say the 12 and 15 is a lot. 12s, I still feel you do because you need more saves actually to qualify if you're going for it overall. Like if you're going for the standalone league, I guess the conversation could differ a little bit, I guess, if you want to just shoot for middle of the pack in saves. And dominate elsewhere. But if you're going for an overall or in a deeper format where you have 30 closers potentially going instead of 24 to 32 or something, you got to be aggressive here. Like that's just the nature of the beast. I don't have any Class A. I've been full fade there. We'll see how that pans out. Devin Williams is my top dude. Been preaching that all off season. And then I have a little bit of Hader and a little bit of Helsley. Don't mind him, honestly. I really don't. The more you look at him, like the saves number last year was crazy, but the skill set, it's always been there. He just hasn't been able to utilize it enough, if that makes sense. And then Iglesias is my dog. That's probably my most rostered closer if I had to, off the top of my head. That's my guy.
Pretty fascinating that 11 closers are going in the first 80 picks. Yep. So while on the one hand, yes, that's really early to take a closer who only contributes to one category and then sparsely to the others. Think about that. Two-thirds of your league in a 15-teamer, in a 12-teamer, almost the entire league, is taking a closer in the top 80 anyway. So it's kind of like, it's just the price of admission almost. And maybe some folks would say, okay, well, if the rest of my league is going to do that, I'm going to zig when they zag and not take a closer and scoop up values elsewhere. And I get that. But if those numbers at least help you get over the fact of, oh crap, I'm spending like a 60th pick on a closer, everyone else in your league is basically doing the same thing. And so you're not really falling back by doing that, if that makes sense.
No, 100%. Like, that's a good point. If basically, you know, three quarters of your league is taking one, you're either the odd three out and you're going to be absolutely hosed potentially, or like you said, price of admission. So that makes a ton of sense. Heck, in a 12-team league, everyone's got one, or some people might have two at that point in time. And that really could push, like, because it goes back to how you talked about the early pitchers going over 200 Ks with great ratios. These early closers are the only ones where you can really sit back and confidently say, these guys are getting 30 plus saves. Like, the other guys might get you 20 to 25. Yeah. There's none of them getting you 30 unless, like, just like they pull full Helsley. What Helsley did last year doesn't happen very often. So there's a reason these guys are getting pushed up so high. Like, in the past, they maybe didn't get pushed up so high because there used to be so much turnover at closers, and maybe that comes back this year. It just hasn't in recent years. You haven't had so much closer chaos like we've had, you know, a few years back.
The other side benefit is some of these early closers are getting you 100 strikeouts, which ain't nothing either.
So that's one reason why I love Devin Williams. Like, he's only projected for 88, but I think he's better than that personally. And it's why I have kind of gone in on Hader a little more. Like, he's projected for 101. The leash is kind of off of him. And I think there's, and if you believe in every other year production, like ratio wise, this is a good year for Josh Hader.
Yep. 100 Ks always helps. It allows you to take a Logan Webb, a Tanner Bibee type as your SP1 if you want.
Yep. Lets you do a lot of things, that's for sure, and get those good ratios. Because even some of those later closers we talk about, they might get you 25 plus saves, but, you know, Iglesias, there's a reason no one ever drafts him. He still gets his saves, but boy, does he blow you up when all the not Rysell, Alexis, or Diaz, sorry. Diaz, not Iglesias. He blows you up on the backside.
He may not this year because he may not be on the team.
Him, Bednar, like, man, Chapman starting out as the closer, which kind of that made more sense than anything. But yeah. there is some turnover out there already, which is, and you might get Clevinger might be the closer in Chicago. That's a whole other story. So
later darts. We will talk about Mr. Clevinger here shortly.
Oh, lovely.
Surprisingly. Lovely.
Yes. Any final thoughts on the starting or the pitcher roadmap, which, again, we talked about the top 200 pitchers taken, or top 200 ADP, 80 overall.
Yep. Just pray. Pray for health. It's about all you can do with pitching. No one probably wants to hear that, but it's like, these guys are going to get hurt. Just hope you pick the right ones. We don't know who they are.
One thing I really want to do when we're in Vegas, Ryan, and I'll put this on the air, I don't care, clip it, folks. I want to sit down with Dr. Dave after he drafts his main event, because he has I want to see his starting pitching that he drafts, and I want to talk to him about, because he basically passes on all the speedsters. He's very open and honest about that. So
we will be able to do that and interview him in Vegas, and so we should do that. Mm-hmm. I agree. That's a good idea.
Yep. All right, let's do it. Fab.
It's coming.
First fab of the year.
Oof.
It's going to be a doozy, everybody. I should probably have already prepped for that. Started doing some leagues, but I haven't, so here we are.
That's what Sunday afternoon at Harry Reid International is for.
Jeez. That's where you're flying out of? No, I'm just kidding. Yep.
All right.
So what do we got?
What we're looking at here, this is a Bloom board we've got up. and I did this last year, and funny enough, I mentioned this to you, but last year's board, we got two boards here, one for the hitters, one for the pitchers. The top hitter was Jackson Merrill, and Garrett Crochet was also listed among the pitchers. And so what this board is I took ADP from, I compared ADP from February 12-team online championship drafts in the NFBC, compared them to now, basically the last 2 days. And I took basically anyone that was undrafted in February, because really the goal here is like this first FAB period coming up is like maybe people are drafting this week or whatever. But like if you are, it's not a whole bunch of movement in FAB this Sunday, depending on what news breaks. But like if you drafted in February, it's like a lot has changed since then. And so what I'm doing is I'm basically taking the guys who were not drafted in February, comparing them with their highest ADP over the last couple of days in NFBC drafts, if that makes sense. So it basically the market telling you out of this group of likely free agents, if you drafted back then or even in early March, who are the ones going highest in drafts right now? And it's almost kind of a de facto FAB ranking list, which is kind of a nice little hack for week one or week zero, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I will be using this to help me kickstart my FAB because it's a lot easier than just kind of going down the list because there's no stats to look at. There's no this, that, and the other.
Right.
Like
exactly. This is a, it's like why not just lean on the drafters drafting right now and putting money on the line to make that list for you. So that's kind of the impetus here. Is I took anyone not drafted in February. Pretty much. There's some guys with like 350 ADPs, which means they were drafted in a couple of leagues or whatever, but maybe available to you in 12 teamers, and some of these guys right in 15 teamers as well.
Yeah, listener leagues were drafted in February. We got that going. Yeah, but the Beat Bubba leagues were pretty early on.
All beat the Bloom. Beat the Bloom. The Bloom is being defeated already.
the blooms occupy the first 3 to 4 rooms in the intensive care unit right now. So
it's a tough scene on Beat the Bloom OC.
Yeah, the Bloom has gotten beat, as you said, is where that one's headed. But yeah, let's talk about this. As Ryan said, 12 team OCs, February to now ADPs. And we'll kind of just pick apart some of these. Like Cam Smith's a crazy riser with the hype of him potentially starting out the year. He could probably get outfield eligibility to go with third base. I don't know how aggressive it feels like Victor Scott's right below him. This is the Victor Scott all over again, basically, except Cam Smith has power.
Yeah.
But like, how do you feel on this one? Because that Astros situation, and I said it to Kirtland when we talked about their lineup on Wednesday's show. I guess I'm more biased on the AL West now since I write about them every week. Like I know all of their options, basically. The Astros have tons to work with, let's put it that way. Cam Smith might be the best option, but there's other moving parts. There's my biggest concern.
Yeah, and I would. And so Cam Smith is the top-ranked player by ADP, 255 ADP of undrafted February. I can't get there. I don't agree with the ADP at 255. I still think you can get a pretty decent player there. But that this also infers that you may have to spend a good chunk of FAB to get Cam Smith, who A, may not even play. Maybe we'll know by Sunday. But B, we have no idea how good he will be right off the bat against major league pitching. So for those two reasons, and I know everyone says they want to save their FAB, they don't want to do the triple digit bids. I'm avoiding Cam Smith. Like I'll probably put in some bids for him for nominal amounts, and not expect to get him.
Yeah, just for reference, like I'll keep mentioning main events just to give us two bullet points here. I know it's might disrupt this, but. Like Cam Smith, for the last two drafts that have taken place in the main event, his ADP is 292. He's gone as high as 257, but as low as 327. So I feel like they're being a little more cautious with Cam, is what I'm trying to get at, than the 12 teams. Like the 12 team might be going more upside, shoot for the moon, where the 15s. So I'm just trying to help listeners out there. Like, say you're in the listener leagues, 15 team leagues, go for them, but maybe don't get like crazy about it situation.
I think the thinking there is in a deeper league, there's a better chance that Cam Smith is a zero.
Yep.
And in there's a deeper no replacement league, that's tough. Yeah, exactly. So that checks out.
I did want to highlight, you have Jonah Heim, Patrick Bailey, Miguel Amaya on this list. A lot of that's due to all the catching injuries. I'll throw that out there right now. Yep. There's a lot of that. But I'd rank it Amaya, Bailey, Jonah Heim, but Bailey's close just because his playing time's locked in without getting hurt. But I don't know if you had any catching thoughts, Ryan.
You know, none as insightful as your catching thoughts. I'm looking through my list. So I started my fab for my OC. I've got it ranked Bo Naylor, Jonah Heim, Bailey, Drake Baldwin, Hunter Goodman, Higgy, and Elias Diaz. I might move Elias Diaz up a little bit, but
I like that.
I actually like Miguel Amaya the most out of this group over Heim and Patrick Bailey. So if you're out there, you're looking for us, right? That, I mean, the catcher is the Stevenson replacement, as we all cry. Sean Murphy or Francisco Alvarez. And that's the other thing to think about, though, is like three teams in your league will be bidding on catchers this first fab run. So just think about that. You will, if you have a clear top catcher, you may have to pay for him because you are bidding against two other guys in your league, most likely.
What I'll throw back on that comment is make a list like Ryan's, go deep, go Elias Diaz deep. Yes. This is basically, it's like week zero in college football for fab. I'm not wanting to spend more than $2 on any of the catchers to replace those guys unless you are dropping said catcher and your plan is to play this guy all year, then get the top of the list. Bold strategy, because those other catchers Ryan mentioned that got hurt, probably better than all these guys. That's why they were drafted ahead of all these guys. But so hopefully you're stashing them if you can. So that's just my two cents. Like, I'm not breaking banks for the catching options out there. Make a huge list and put maybe, okay, go as high as $5 if you want. I don't care, but don't go crazy is my point.
Agreed. And that's basically what I did in my OC so far, is you're just trying to get someone who plays and don't break the bank for it, especially if you have like a Tyler Stevenson, who I think we do have a question, like, do we hold him? I think absolutely. It sucks to have three catchers, but I think you hold and just kind of go cheap at catcher until you get him back, and then you're good.
A couple others on this list. It's interesting seeing Sal Frelick get the bump, huge spring training. But like, you look at the Brewers roster and there's really no room at the end for him. That's what makes it, it's like, for now, he's a fourth outfielder. Unless something, like, or he's platooning, I guess. He's strong side of a platoon.
Well, he's taking Garrett Mitchell's job. So
no, he's not. Garrett Mitchell's in center field. Sal Frelick plays corner outfield. Stop it right now, Ryan.
You would never, I had to get that in.
Face.
I had
never stand to my face. No, just kidding. But yeah, so you're getting a platoon bat, which again, at the ADP 330, they're all platoon bats almost at that point. But the big springs got that boost coming up in a big way.
Yeah. I think in general too, on the hitter side, so Cam Smith's the only one going in the top 300 right now that was undrafted. What that tells me, there's like no standouts on the hitter side. What you just said about catchers, I would also apply on the hitter side, is I would not spend, I would just try and fill in injury holes and spend single digits on a lot of these hitters. You're just trying to kind of field a full lineup for that first weekend. And then, you know, then we get into our cadence and then that sort of thing the rest of the season. So I don't see any, you know, if you believe in Cam Smith, maybe go for it, but I wouldn't. And outside of that, I would not see much reason to spend much on hitters for this first weekend.
Yeah, it's good to see Austin Hayes on the list, Torkelson getting the boost, Manzardo getting the boost. Who's your number one guy you like on this side of the board?
Honestly, John Birdie, yeah. Because you're picking these, at least in the NFBC. So I do want to make that clear. We don't want to totally cater to only NFBC players, but in the NFBC, they call it a free look. You can pick up Birdie for that for Friday, basically. No, yeah, this Sunday. Wait a minute. Yeah, you can pick up Birdie this Sunday, and you can start him
next week.
Next week, and you get his stats in Japan, and like, you get two steals, a couple hits, whatever, some runs, and that's 100% guaranteed, which you can't say about any of these other guys. So like, John Birdie actually would be my top thing. I think I think in the OC I've got him for like $12. I don't know if that'll be enough to get him. Probably not. But if I had to rank him, I'd take the guy that you at least know you're going to get two bags from. And again, remember, this fab period is really only for, most of these teams are playing three games, and then we're doing another fab period. So just keep that in mind as well. It's a short-term
play. Rental. And just realize you'll probably drop Birdie in a 12-team league the following Sunday, because Nico Horner's supposed to be back next week. So you're going to start Birdie. Might not play much that whole weekend, but you'll get the two steals in the batting average. Just keep that.
But like, would you spend $10 in fab for two steals, a couple runs? I would.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would. I had no problem with that at all. like just for again reference sake, where did John Birdie go? And what do you think John Birdie's ADP is right now in the last two drafts of main events?
Oh, for mains, I would say it's 339 here. I don't know, 310.
344. He went as high as 311.
Okay.
So. Yeah. Okay, outside of Birdie, who is the one guy on this list you take? Basically, someone you're going to keep longer in initially.
I don't know if I have one, honestly.
Dalton Varsho.
Okay.
Dude's hit 18-plus home runs in the last three seasons. Average has been a fluctuating situation. Seen him hitting really well. The only caveat why I think he's still down here is he might start on the IL because he can't throw. But if they're willing to DH him while he rehabs, man, that's a pretty sweet bat to get at 337.
That's the risk is you are taking someone who may start on the IL and then you can't play him first weekend. So
yep, I don't know. Wanted to highlight that for one last thing.
Yep.
All right, pitching side of things, we do have some risers here for sure in this situation. Obviously, they're all risers. That's the point of the conversation. But to get my point, yeah, at least four guys in the top 300 on this one. What stands out to you the most?
You've got, so Dustin May and Max Meyer are the top two, both going in the top 300 here. I like Max Meyer a lot. I would take a spec here. I think if you're spending money, there's a better chance you hit on something very good on the pitching side right now, as opposed to the hitting side. So I don't really believe in Dustin May, but I can see it. You could speculate there. You could speculate on Max Meyer, your guy, Hayden Birdsong. Speculating there. Jack Leiter is rising as well. If ADB 332 was undrafted in February, my guy, Casey Mize, 317, he's rising. I just think there's a lot of good. And again, Garrett Crochet was on this same exact list last season. I'm not saying one of these guys is going to be Garrett Crochet this year, but it just happened. So I think if you're speculating and you probably already have a pitcher injury or two, I think the pitcher side is pretty fruitful right now for this first fab period and is more of a long-term play as opposed to kind of patching holes like you would on offense.
And this is why we talk about like on reserve round picks, taking like five pitchers, two hitters or something, throw your darts out here. Like my last 12, I got a Casey Mize share. Might have a Will Warren, different guys like Birdsong was on my list. Like a bunch of guys that you're seeing here are guys I've been targeting late per se. But also opens the door, like you said, to fab. Like you can take your chances if you drafted early, if things didn't pan out, if you have injuries, you have options in the pitching department. Where look at the hitting side, not so much. Like big difference in your options here. I know it's late now in draft season, but just keep that in mind for next year. This is a great example of why we discuss these things. Love seeing AJ Smith-Shaver hit the bottom there. He was a guy I was targeting in DCs out of like the big three prospects potentially to get the fifth spot or the sixth spot for the Braves. Looks like Smith-Shaver might start the season in the rotation now with his big spring. I think he's way better than Ian Anderson. So that could be a guy that takes that Schwelly type bump, Grant Holmes type bump. Smith-Shaver could be that dude coming in at basically last round or fab for most, well, fab for almost everybody probably.
Yep.
So I think like that a lot. Landon Max
got win
already.
Go ahead. You've got the Dodger guys. You've got Alex Vesia, who has a save, right? In NFBC leagues, you're fabbing him for that save, as well as Landon Knack. It's interesting to me that Vesia is going before Knack, because I'd rather have a win than a save.
100%. Wins are so much harder to get. Yes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. I will put token bids, similar to the Birdie side, I will put token bids in for Vesia and Knack just to see if I can sneak in a win or a save. Depending on the league, that may or may not happen. So, I think a lot of good pitching options here long-term. Short-term, it's tough because, again, most of these teams playing 3-4 games only. So it's that kind of classic question. You may not field a full nine pitching group that first weekend unless you have a bunch of or a few relievers. But the flip side of that is a lot of these kind of four or five starters on each team's rotation, maybe like a Max Meyer, may get a two-step the following week, which is pretty sweet. So just keep that in mind. I know a lot of folks say out there, oh, you want to try and field a full nine, get these relievers. Well, you may cut someone who's in line for a two-step the following week. And so I don't go too nuts and go too crazy trying to get nine pitchers who are going to pitch that opening weekend and like cutting someone who's decent for like a reliever just to get a maybe a good inning or two.
Yeah, it's a good point you make. A lot of people mention that for this weekend and then the All-Star break weekend. It's
right.
Like, hey, yep. You got to maximize staff. So I'm like, I'd rather maximize a starting pitcher I can utilize for a while personally than other factors.
Maximize the hitting. Maximize the hitting for sure. But the pitching side, I think if you take a zero in the first weekend, I it's not the end of the world.
I think there's room to, like, the last week of the year, maximize it all. But right now, you're good to go. I will mention, because we harped on closers so much, well, you do have Clevinger here who has the inside track with the White Sox right now. You mentioned Vessi has one save. You also have Taylor Rogers because of the Alexis Diaz situation. Taylor Rogers might get to snipe in there. So for those of you that did wait on closers or you maybe have someone hurt, you do have a couple options at least.
And you may want to go. I always get the Barlows mixed up, just like I do with the Festas. But in Cincinnati, one of the Barlows could be an option as well.
Yes. Yep. Totally.
Scott Barlow.
Totally agree.
Scott Barlow. Scott Barlow. That could be an option. You may also want to look at, like, well, I guess Bednar's most recent outing was decent, but you could try and spec on that. That I think that is, if you do play like the reliever game and you want to just take someone who might pitch, get you a good inning, maybe take someone who at least might have a shot at saves, Colin Holderman, Dennis Santana. Like, those are guys behind Bednar in Pittsburgh where if Bednar implodes, maybe they step in or something. But I think the Cincinnati bullpen is the one to attack, going either Barlow, Rogers, maybe Tony Santillan, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Yep. That could be a bullpen to target as well, because I don't know if Diaz is starting in the ninth or with the team.
He's starting in the doghouse right now is the best I can put it. Yes. So he's got that going for him.
Yep.
All right, any final thoughts before we hit up a few listener questions?
Now let's hit them up. Don't go too crazy on Fab this weekend, people. I know you got your full $1,000 and you're itching to spend. It's a long 27-week season, so only spend where you need this first week.
We'll start with Ben Bingham says, does the ADP for catchers show in their lineup with your preferences? Would Drake Baldwin slot in at the end? Need to find a Stevenson replacement. We kind of hit on that.
Yeah, we kind of hit on that. I think we go Amaya first, then Heimer, Bailey. And then maybe Drake Baldwin or Elias Diaz if you're looking for catchers.
And I'm just being cautious with Baldwin because when Murphy comes back, I don't know how much Baldwin they're going to use. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what it feels like. Ben also says, is Stevenson a hold? And yes, the answer is yes.
Yes, agreed.
Lucas Beery says, can we get a free look breakdown? Nothing too crazy, but just a quick, I'd consider this player for X amount roughly or in this round. I'm having a tough time squaring the cost of banking a winner, save at the cost of a player who might not have rest of season, that kind of stuff. You mentioned most of that already.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much down to Birdie. I don't know if any unrostered hitters did much in Tokyo. You're pretty much down to Birdie for two steals, Vessia for a save, and Knack for a win. Like I said, with Birdie, I'm maybe going like 10, 12 bucks. I'd probably rank them. Would you rather have a win, a save, or two bags? Probably take the win, then the two bags, and the save, something like that.
It's kind of where I'm at, that's where I'm at, because at least, I'm just going to leave it at that. That's what I would say. Yes, 100% agree. Ben Bingham says, would you hold on to any of these guys in first Fab leagues, like Zebby Matthews, Ben Brown, Blake Treinen, Jeremiah Estrada, David Robertson, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Matt Fierling? Would you hold to any of those guys?
Probably not, because you probably have someone who's hurt already, and then you're starting to pile up. You have to have enough coverage. So I would probably be dropping most of those guys. You don't want to wait too long with those closers and waiting, and then it's May and done nothing with them,
and you're still waiting. Smokey Joe says, having drafted a lot of SP4 fives, they won't start at the first short week. Fine with six starters, three relievers, or five starters, four relievers. He's iffy on Singano first Toronto. Or should I get an SP flyer?
I'd stick with the guys you drafted. You drafted them for a reason. I'd keep it. And I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying. Don't go too crazy about trying to have all your nine pitchers start in the first weekend. If you get a two step the following weekend, I think that's worth keeping a zero for the first weekend.
He also says, are there any interesting streamers for the first week? Because I guess where he's coming down with that, he said,
So let me debut.
Yes,
working on this a little bit. The weekly planner that we're going to use for this season's Fab. We'll go through it more later. That's a little tough to see.
More. It's like
freaking out on me. But if we look at our usual suspects, the Chicago White Sox, they face the Angels. So it's Kikuchi who's rostered, but Tyler Anderson and Jose Soriano. If those guys are available, you could maybe look to stream against the White Sox. Who are some of our other bad
teams? What do the Marlins have going on
this week? Marlins, let's see. NL East. Marlins get Pittsburgh. So it's Skeens. God, it's so weird not seeing Jones there. But that's actually a nice test for this because this is looking at Fangraphs probables. Yeah. Jones is already out. So it's Skeens, Keller, Heaney, and Bailey Falter. I'd pick up Home Run Heaney against Miami. You could stream that.
Yeah.
I don't know about Bailey Falter, but
Bailey Falter's tough. Like Colorado's at Philadelphia, but that's, you know, Lizardo and Ranger Suarez. You're not really streaming that. So yeah, there's not a lot because you'd expect most aces or the top two or three in most rotation to be taken. I think your Sorianos of the world, like your Angels guys, might be obviously first candidates on that one. But yeah, that does check out pretty good.
Tyler Anderson could be at least last year the White Sox were just god awful against lefties, so Tyler Anderson could be an option to stream.
Makes sense. So, yeah. GP Churchill says Ben Rice and perhaps Griffin Canning to that list. Yes, those would be options for sure.
Yeah. Canning is, he may do it to us the third time here, but pitching well this spring. So I can get behind that.
And Ben Rice is going to backup catcher and DH.
He had like five, six home runs.
Yep. He's going to be a nice option there if he gets that catcher eligibility going. Ben Bingham. Oh, there's the Ryan Weathers news. Yep. That's it. That is it. All right, Mr. Bloomfield, any final thoughts before we wrap up this episode and get to packing?
Yeah, I got to pack, got to finish some work stuff, go to sleep. It's the general plan. And I will see you. Set that alarm. I'll see you early in the morning, my friend. 8 a.m. I land.
Yep, 8:50 for me. So I'll see you there. Hopefully you already have that a good old air. The place where you can drink a beer 24/7, Airport Beers, always acceptable.
8 a.m.
I'm kidding.
It's been a while.
Yeah. But yeah. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Hope you guys all have a great weekend. Hopefully this helped for you guys. Again, if you're in Vegas this weekend, hit us up. We'd love to say hi, have a drink, whatever. Yep. Let us know you're around and have a good time there. If not, we'll catch you hopefully on the Patreon, in the Discord, see everybody's doing there. But until then, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and the Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Entrick. This is Bubba the Bloom, episode 226. Catch y'all next time.